I'm Brad Locke, and you are listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Brad here with you, as always. And as always, Podgator. And also with us, James Murphy.
Happy to be here, Brad.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Great. Super. I'm happy to be here, too. It's Wednesday, December the 6th, as we record this episode of Prep Rally. We come to you every Wednesday, so be sure to catch us on iTunes or Spotify or online at preprally.djournal.com. And give us a follow on Twitter at DJournalSports. And if you haven't been to Pizza Doctor, where you need to go, that's our sponsor. You can find them at Midtown Point in Tupelo, a.k.a. the Old Mall. We got the meat lovers and the chicken Alfredo today, two fan favorites, and it's the best pizza in town, in my opinion. And this is my podcast, so it's the only opinion that matters, James. Don't you forget it.
I'll make sure not to.
You New Yorkers always have opinions, though, don't you? Strong opinions.
Well, as long as we're on pizza, then yes. I personally try to keep my opinions to what I know.
Yeah, well, that's what I try to do as well. Okay, so yeah, I mean, New York's got pretty good pizza. I've had it before. It's pretty good. I gotta give it to you. I like Chicago pizza too. I'm a fan of pizza. Really, it's hard to mess up for one thing, but I'm a fan of pizza wherever it comes from. So, okay, football season is over. Everyone shed a tear. Hard to believe, James. Phil. Feels like it started just yesterday, standing outside in 95-degree heat, watching football. And it closed out last week in Oxford with the state championships, so let's just jump into that. We had three teams playing for state titles. Two of them came away winners. We'll talk about them. Let's start with Biggersville, taking on Velma Jackson, and ended up being what was easily the most entertaining game I saw all season, James. Would say the same for you?
100%. It was one of those games where the last team with the ball ended up winning.
Just about. And Velma Jackson actually did have one play at the end, but after the game-winning touchdown by Biggersville with, what, 8 seconds? No, 1 second. Yeah, because they returned the kickoff.
They turned the kickoff. They weren't sure. What happened was Biggersville rushed the field. They go back and look at the clock, realize there's 1 second.
Which there was.
Velma Jackson runs a screen pass that gets down to, what, the 25, 20-yard line?
Yeah, I think it was like the 19-yard line or something.
Inside
you're
the
range. You're thinking, holy cow, they're going to pull this off. That would be, whew. Talk about, I've seen that before with the the Biggersville-Ingemar basketball championship game from a couple of years ago. Comes to mind. One team celebrating, and then moments later, it's the other team celebrating. But Biggersville was able to hang on there and win 53-49. And you look at, you know, the first half, they fall behind by a couple of touchdowns. Their best player, Jathan Hatch, goes out with some kind of injury. I don't know if it was an ankle or hamstring. I've heard both. Lower body injury, as the NFL people say. You think at that point, well, Biggersville's got a lot of talent, but man, Velma Jackson, they had Gavin Griffin. Nobody could tackle him. You think that's I thought things weren't looking too good for the Lions at that point.
They weren't, but overall, and I think it can trace – I specifically trace it to 2 points. I think that Biggersville played a more sound game. They made fewer mistakes, and whatever mistakes Velma Jackson made, they took advantage. Now, it only took two to, I think, keep Biggersville in it, but obviously put them over the top. The first one came in the second half. Velma Jackson got down to the 32-yard line. I believe it was a run by Gavin Griffin. Most of their plays were, and I don't blame them. He was unstoppable.
Yeah.
He gets down to the 32. Biggersville rips the ball out, gets it back, marches down the field for a touchdown, and takes their first lead of the game in halftime. And, of course, the teams go back and forth a little bit. Velma Jackson retakes the lead, and they line up to punt, and everybody in the building is thinking, okay, Biggersville's going to get it back at their 30-25.
Yeah, this was what, like 2 minutes left in the game, maybe less?
2 minutes left. Everybody in the building is thinking, okay, they're going to get it back in deep in their own territory. And all of a sudden, the punter mishandles the snap. He backs up, then tries to pass it. They end up giving Biggersville the ball, I think, what, 20-something yards away from the goal line, and they end up scoring the winning touchdown.
Yeah, Trey Gunn took a pitch to the right. And dove into the end zone with 8 or 9 seconds left. I'm trying to think. That was a third down play. They had just taken a timeout. I knew that was that timeout they took before that play their final timeout?
That was their last one, yeah.
See, that's what I thought, which makes that play even a gutsier call, because if Gunn doesn't get in across the goal line, they got no time to run another play, and that's it, game over. So you think they'd go to the air, because that was from the two-yard line, right? So, and Drew Rousey had just been on point all night, but if you give the ball to Trey Gunn in space, you feel pretty good about your chances.
You do, 100%. And come to think of it, it makes sense why he leapt over into the goal line, because you can't risk being tackled and bounced. So, honestly, maybe that was more strategic than anything.
I don't know, man. But it worked out for Biggersville, and the Lions ended up winning their first state championship, beating Velma Jackson in the 1A title game. I mentioned Drew Rousey. He had to throw the ball more than normal after Jathan Hatch went out. I mean, we've both seen the kid throw the ball. We know he can spin it, and he's extremely accurate. He completed, I think, 74% of his passes this season. And this game of his life. In fact, Coach Case Ingram said before the game, he told me that he told Drew, you're about to have the game of your life. And this was before they knew Hatch was going to be hurt and he'd have to throw it 25 times. But ended up going 21 of 25 for 373 yards, 6 touchdown passes for Drew Rousey. And he spread it around to Trey Gunn, to Brooke Seago, had a couple of big touchdown catches, a long one and a short one. And just everybody pitched in, man. I mean, that goes to show you lose somebody like Jathan Hatch, especially at the 1A level, you think they're done. Because I think if Gavin Griffin had gotten hurt like that, I don't think Velma Jackson would have been able to put up as good a fight as based on what I saw. So that tells you how deep and talented that team is.
100%. And their ability to step up and make those adjustments, not just from a player perspective, but also from a coaching perspective. Mm-hmm. And you talked to Case Ingram about that after the game.
Yeah.
Both of them did a terrific job.
Yeah, they did, man. I mean, that's kind of puts the – you know, Biggersville has been headed toward this destination for the past 7-8 years, ever since Stan Platt took over and started winning and building the really good culture around the program, started making the playoffs, they went to a championship game 3 years ago, lost on the last-second play to Lumberton, and finally they get the big one, and just a real testament to the way that program is run up there in the Biggersville. 5A game, we had West Point game, and they were taking on the Laurel. And West Point dominated in pretty much every facet of the game. Ended up winning 35-7. I mean, their first drive of the game, they go 72 yards in 8 plays. Cannon Daniels runs it in for a touchdown. Next drive, after Laurel scores, they answer with an 80-yard drive, 16 plays. Took 7 minutes, 2 seconds off the clock. I mean, that is West Point offense in a nutshell. I mean, of course, I think they threw 3 or 4 passes the whole game. None of them were complete, and most of them I thought were unnecessary, but you're trying to keep the defense a little bit honest, but and nothing they could do to stop that run game between Cannon Daniels and Quinterian Tillman Evans and Kemon Ewing. I mean, they just racked up the yardage. Gosh, how many total yards do they have rushing? It was over 400.
400.
I have it here.
20-something, I think.
I have it here somewhere. Yeah, 447 rushing yards.
Wow.
Daniels finished with 253 and 3 touchdowns. He had 144 yards in the first half. So West Point wins title number 12, the first team in Mississippi to win that many. They had been tied with South Panola and Louisville at 11 each. Louisville went on to win the 4A title, so now they have 12 also. But West Point did it first. They did it on Thursday.
Yep.
And Louisville didn't do it till Saturday. So Chris Chambliss, 18th year as the coach there. They've won, I think, 7 titles on his watch. Again, 12 overall. It's just a machine they have there in West Point. And I don't know what else you can say about it. It was raining. The conditions weren't great. It didn't matter. They just ran the ball and played defense like they always do.
100%. And you could argue those conditions kind of played into the type of football they wanted to play.
Likely, because, again, they don't throw the ball much. I mean, Laurel is run heavy as well, but they have a quarterback that can throw it around a little bit, but they just could not get anything going. Kobe Pierce, the quarterback, scored their lone touchdown, I believe, on a running play. But otherwise, he did not have much luck passing the ball against that defense. So, West Point wins, and then Starkville in the 7A game lost to Oak Grove. So the defending 6A champs fall in the first 7A title game. in Mississippi history, with the expansion of the classification. Of course, that Oak Grove team, though, from what I had seen and heard, were going to be a tough team to deal with anyway. So still a good season by Starkville. Okay, let's talk a little bit of hoopage. I got out to a game last night at Shannon. Watched the Shannon boys take on Tishomingo County, the Region 1-4A opener for both schools. Shannon ended up with the win 60-50. Pretty entertaining game. It was close throughout the first half. Shannon led 28-20 going into the break. And Tish County got it pretty close there in the third quarter, about midway through. They were within 6 points, but then Shannon goes on a big 10-0 run. Marquellen Perkins played a big role in that. He had 4 points during that run. Jordan Medcalf had a big steal and layup. Just all kind of happened in a flurry. Got some turnovers, got some easy buckets, is what they like to do. But even in the half court, they did pretty well after settling for some jump shots early. So led 47-33 going into the fourth and just put it away from there. Perkins ended up with 21 points. Medcalf ended up with 22. I think Perkins had 9 rebounds. I have to go back and look at my stats I kept. But they hit the boards pretty good, out-rebounded Tisch County by quite a bit. So Shannon starts 1-0 in region play. And then we going back to Saturday, you went over to the South Pontotoc Cougar Classic, right?
That's correct.
You had Ingomar and Pontotoc, big battle, two of our ranked teams and girls. And as you might expect, it went into overtime, but Pontotoc pulled it out, 47-41.
They held a pretty solid lead most of the game. It usually hung around 7-4 points, but it never got much higher or lower than that.
Yeah.
And then Ingomar got a three from Macy Pfeiffer late in the fourth quarter, and then forced a jump ball on the other end, got the jump ball, and with 3.5 seconds left, they set up a play. Katie Joe Bird.
She hits
a game-winning three. Game-tying three.
Yeah, she can shoot the rock from outside.
So they had that. But after that, Pontotoc's defense was just stifling. I believe they out-rebounded them somewhere in the realm of 5-0.
Yeah, I think you said 5-0 in your story.
Somewhere in that realm.
But in OT, yeah.
They definitely dominated the boards. And defensively, whenever Ingomar missed a basket, that was it. They weren't going to get another chance. Yeah. And if they did, Pontotoc was up by another 2 scores.
Yeah, Pontotoc is our number one ranked team, has been since the preseason. They have so much talent and depth on that team. I mean, from Elena Ball to Corey Grace Ware to Channing Lane. You got the transfers that came in, Hannah Finley, the point guard from New Albany, and Lila Cox, the post player from Morville. And that's just like your starting lineup, never mind the bench. They got a really solid bench coming back from last year. I mean, they're just hard to deal with every spot on the floor.
It really is, and it's one of those teams where their bench could probably hang with most of Class 5A, if not most of the state. It's really impressive, that depth they have.
Oh, yeah. So that was a big win there for Pontotoc. They got Tupelo coming up later this week, I believe. Isn't that Friday?
Friday, big rivalry game.
I think we're covering that one. Either you or Brendan, I forget who. That's you. Okay. Yep. So that should be a fun one. Tupelo Pontotoc girls at Pontotoc. Let's wrap it up with the Athletes of the Week. We do this every week. We have 3 nominees for Male Athlete of the Week, 3 for Female Athlete of the Week, and we let y'all vote for the winner. Just go to our Twitter page, @DJournalSports. We'll have the polls posted there. So the Female Athlete of the Week nominees this week are Rebecca Mason of Wheeler, Dylan Miller of Tupelo, and Mia Regalado of New Albany. I hope I said that right. It sure is fun to pronounce. Regalado. Male Athlete of the Week nominees, Tay Jones of Potts Camp, Dallas Pounds of New Site, and the aforementioned Drew Rousey of Biggersville. So go to our Twitter page, @DJournalSports, and vote for Athletes of the Week. And that's all the time we have. So thanks for joining us. Coming to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, or online at preprally.djournal.com. You can follow me on Twitter, @BradLock. James is on there, @JSMurphyMedia. Podgator still does not have a Twitter, but he says goodbye, and we'll see y'all next time.